Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with LearnVisualStudio.net. At this point, our Around Me app is just missing one final feature, the ability to randomly change the lock screen to one of the pictures that we've selected every few moments, even if the Around Me app isn't currently running. So this functionality requires that we use a scheduled task agent. And the scheduled task agent will run in the background and execute at specific intervals even while our program is not in the foreground or is not currently the app that the user is working with. So in our case, we're going to schedule the task to run every 30 seconds for debugging purposes. And so when that scheduled task executes, it'll call into our lock screen helper class's set random image from local storage method that we created in the previous lesson. So to enable this functionality, we're going to need to add a new Windows Phone Scheduled Task Agent project to our existing Around Me solution. And then we're going to need to execute code here in the lockscreenhelper.cs file of our Around Me project. But this poses a problem. Currently, this file, as well as its dependencies, like Flickr images and the photo.cs class files, they reside in our main Around Me project. Now, we could merely cut, copy, and paste code files from the main Around Me project to our new Scheduled Task Agent project, but the better solution from a code maintenance perspective would be to create a third project, a Windows Phone class library project that would be shared then between both the main Around Me project and our new Scheduled Task Agent project. So that Windows Phone Class Library project would then house this lockscreenhelpers.cs, our flickrimage.cs, our photo.cs class files. And so, you know, we typically want to share code rather than duplicate code so that any changes or updates that we make in one place can be shared by all dependents. So our game plan in this lesson would be to, first of all, add a new Windows Phone Scheduled Task Agent project to our solution. We're going to add a couple of lines of code that will call the setRandomImage from local storage method and allow us to test that in the emulator. Then we're going to add a new Windows Phone class library project into our solution, and we're going to move our class files from the AroundMe project into the new class library project. And we're going to need to clean up the references, make sure that we have things like the Newtonsoft's JSON library and the Microsoft.NET.HTTP library package installed in that new Windows Phone class library project. Then we'll need to create references from the main Around Me project and the Scheduled Task Agent project to the new class library project. So they'll both have a dependency on that class library project. And then in the main Around Me project, I'm going to need to introduce the Scheduled Task Agent project to the operating system by launching it when the main Around Me app starts up. We'll need to configure the WM app manifest in order to allow our app to be a lock screen background provider. We talked briefly about that in the previous lesson. And if all goes well, we're going to run it and watch the fireworks. And then we'll pretty much be done. Now, I'm not going to submit this app to the store like we did for the previous app. We already seen that process in lesson 24, I believe, in the previous series, or in the previous app, our soundboard app. But I will show you some last steps required before submitting the app to the store, including how to get a token to properly license and use the map services in your phone store app. Okay, so I don't believe that I've ever demonstrated how to add a second project to a solution in the C# Fundamental series. Assuming that you don't know how to do this, we're going to just go up to the very top of the Solution Explorer and select the Around Me solution, and we'll right-click and select Add New Project. And in the New Project dialog, we'll want to make sure that we are in Visual C# Windows Phone Project Templates, and we're going to want to make sure to select at the very bottom the Windows Phone Schedule Task Agent. And we're going to call this Around Me Scheduler. So Around Me dot scheduler, and click OK. And it asks what target version, of course, 8.0 version. And so now you can see we have a second project in our solution, the Around Me dot scheduler. The most important part of this project is the scheduled agent.cs file, which is loaded into the main area. Most of the code in this scheduled agent.cs file is boilerplate, meaning we're not going to need to change it at all. But it must be there in order to create a valid scheduled task agent. However, if you scroll down near the bottom of this file in line number 42, I guess, you'll find the on invoke method with a to-do comment, and this is where we're going to implement our code. And so what we'll do here is we're actually going to write one line of code. Actually, what I'm going to do is remove this to-do and add a new to-do. And the new to-do will be to set the random image from local storage. And then once we do that, we're going to need to add one more line of code, and that's scheduled action service dot launch for test. And we'll give it a task dot name, time span, and we'll need to add that namespace, I guess, using system. Time span dot from seconds. And so we're going to execute this every 30 seconds for the purpose of testing. So we're going to come back to later here, and we're going to add code that will set the random image from local storage, but we have a little setup work to do first. Before we do that, take a look at this article on MSDN, scheduled action service that launched for test, and this will explain why we did what we did with the line of code that I added. It basically says use this method during application development to test your background agent implementation. Background agents are launched by the operating system according to the type of agent and the current state of the system. This scheduling logic is described in this other article, Background Agents for Windows Phone. You can use this method to launch an agent more frequently from your foreground application or from the agent itself in order to test the agent execution. This method should only be used during development. You should remove calls to this method from your production application. All right, so it's merely for testing purposes in the phone emulator. We'll want to make sure to remove this before we actually intend to send this to the store for inclusion. But otherwise, as we'll learn in a moment, when our app is deployed on a real phone, it's only going to run once every 20 to 40 minutes, and we'll talk about that more in just a moment. Now, the other option is that we could wrap this line of code in something like this. If debugger dot is attached, then execute this code, and that means that it'll only execute that line of code if we're in debugging. All right, so that is an option, so that we don't have to make these changes and then, you know, comment them out every single time that we want to make changes to our app, test it, and then redeploy it to the store. There's another article that's referenced here, and it's called Background Agents for Windows Phone, and this too is required reading, I think, before we really get too deeply into this video. If you think you ever need to do some background processing or scheduled processing, then you have to read this article. In a nutshell, there are two types of background tasks. There are resource-intensive tasks and periodic tasks. Resource-intensive tasks run in the background because they might take a long time to complete. They're processor-intensive. Periodic tasks run at set intervals. So in our case, we're creating a periodic task. And there are different rules and constraints depending on the type of background task that you're working with. Both resource-intensive tasks and periodic tasks share the following constraints. First of all, an application can only have one background agent, and only one instance of the agent will run at a time. Secondly, we're limited by which of the phone's APIs we can utilize from a background task, as detailed in this article. Third, we're limited by the amount of the phone's resources that we can use, no more than 11 megabytes for an application like ours. Fourth, our scheduled task will only work for about 2 weeks before it needs to be rescheduled by rerunning the Around Me app, all right? And then fifth, if our app crashes twice in a row, it will be unscheduled by the operating system. So in our case, since we're working with periodic tasks, we need to be aware of some additional things. For example, our task will run about every 30 minutes. However, the phone's operating system will decide when to run tasks. In fact, it might run all scheduled tasks at the same time because it's more efficient to use the phone's battery once every 30 minutes than a bunch of times during that same period for each individual scheduled task that wants to run. So that 30-minute time frame can drift as much as 10 minutes in either direction. So when we deploy our Round Me app to a phone, it'll change the image every 20 minutes to 40 minutes or so, give or take, okay? Next, our scheduled task can only run for 25 seconds before it's shut down by the operating system. Now that shouldn't affect us, but we should be aware of that for future reference. Also, if the battery is low and the phone goes into battery saver mode, you see the little battery with a little heart over the top of it in the system tray. What that really indicates is that it has shut down scheduled tasks. It's turned off some of the functionality of the phone, like the GPS and the Bluetooth radio and more. And users can configure how aggressively they want the battery saver to be in the settings screen. I have a little battery monitoring app on my start page, and I was getting low on battery, and then I noticed that the battery saver mode kicked in, and then all of a sudden I had 20 hours left. That's because it was throttling what was going on in the background. So be aware that when you create your own scheduled tasks, the operating system might turn off your task temporarily if it needs to save battery. And then finally, depending on each phone's configuration, there might be a limit to how many background agents can run at the same time. A few days ago, I hit that limit and it asked me to choose some background tasks to shut down because the phone was low on memory, all right, as an end user. So if you're planning on submitting an app to the store, you're going to need to be willing to support users. If you want to support your users, you're going to need to know a little bit about how the phone and the operating system work with your app. If the user complains that their background is not changing often enough, you might want to ask a few questions about how many apps they're currently running. So to see what's running in the background, you go to your Windows Phone settings. Here, let me do this right now. Let's go to settings. You want to swipe over to the applications page, then you want to click the background tasks. And as you can see here, you don't have any tasks running in the background in the emulator. But you would see a list of all of the apps that are currently running in the background. So to shut one down, you just tap on the app, and then there's a little block button that appears, and you would tap on that as well. So to confirm that you've shut down the app, then you press and hold the back button to view any open apps, like so. Okay, and then you can see everything that's been opened or is currently opened, okay? And you can choose to shut those down as well, I think. All right, so at any rate, the article here does a really nice job of explaining the general life cycle of background agents as well, right, in this section here. So from this article, it says, when the agent is launched, the operating system calls on invoke. When the agent has completed its task, it should call notify complete or abort to let the operating system know that it's completed. Notify complete should be used if the task was successful. If the agent is unable to perform its task, such as a needed server being unavailable, the agent should call abort, which causes the is scheduled property to be set to false. So that is the purpose of the notify complete here in line number 47 in our code. All right, and it was there from the boilerplate when we created this project. So again, we're going to come back and revisit this to-do comment in just a little bit after we've moved our class files around from the Around Me project to a new Windows Phone class library project, which we're going to do next. So just like in step number one, we're going to need to add a new project to our solution. So here again, click on the solution entry for the Around Me solution. Right-click, select Add New Project. And this time we want to choose a Windows Phone class library, and I'm going to call this aroundme.core, and then click OK. And click OK again. And the first thing I'm going to do is just delete this class1.cs, don't need that. And then the next thing I'm going to do is I want to select from the main Around Me project. So one by one, I'm going to drag, for example, Flickr image into the new aroundme.core project. I'm going to drag the lockscreenhelpers.cs file into the aroundme.core project and the photo.cs into the aroundme core project. And then the next thing I'm going to do is delete them from the aroundme project since they're now in the aroundme core project. Okay, so since we have these files in our aroundme.core project, we're going to have to rely on NuGet once again to install the packages that we've relied on for these files, namely the newtonsoft.json and the microsoft.net.http class or packages. Let's open up the Package Manager console, and I want to change the default package to aroundme.core. And then I want to type in install-package newtonsoft.json. And then I want to install package microsoft.net.http. Great. All right, and just to make sure here, I've got everything I need. All right, and just to make sure that everything works correctly in the aroundme.core project, I'm going to right-click and select Build from the context menu on the project name, aroundme.core, and it looks like I've succeeded, so that's good. And now in the Solution Explorer in the aroundme project, I want to add a reference to the aroundme core project since it has the files that I need. So right-click on References, select Add Reference, and then we want to choose the Solution tab, and we want to make a reference to the aroundme.core project and click OK. All right, and at this point then, what you want to do is we're going to take a look at our mainpage.xaml.cs and just kind of comb through it and look for any problems. I don't see any there. Let's look at the searchresults.xaml.cs and comb through it and look for any problems, anything that might be missing. Typically what you'll see, unless even maybe we should try to build it and see what happens. Right click and build. Okay, yeah, so we do find some problems. Let's go ahead and double click on the, we can see that we're relying on this lock screen helpers class, and the exception we get is that it's inaccessible due to its protection level. So we need to go into the aroundme.core, open up the lockscreenhelpers.cs, and you can see we haven't adorned that class with a public, so with a public keyword. So now we'll add that. I'm going to rebuild just the aroundme.core. And now I'm going to try to rebuild the main aroundme project. And it should be able to see that lock screen helpers. Yes, and we've succeeded. Very good. So whenever I see the term protection level in an error message, that usually means a visibility problem. In other words, our old code can't see our new code. And usually that's because I'm missing an accessibility modifier in the new code, like public. All right, so now I'm looking at the lockscreenhelpers.cs class or file, and I see something else. I've moved these files to a new project and named that project deliberately to give us a new namespace. So I called the new project aroundme.core. However, when I look at the current namespace, it's only around me. Do I want the namespace to be around me? I think I'd prefer it to match the project name. So what I'm going to do is change aroundme.core in each of the class files. So I made that change to the lockscreenhelpers.cs. I'll make it to Flickr image. And I'm going to make it to the photo.cs file. We'll save all that. And I'm going to rebuild this. And now I'm going to need to add a using statement to the searchresults.xaml.cs. I think that's the only one that really has a dependency on the aroundme.core. So we're going to add using aroundme.core, and we'll save it, and we'll try building the aroundme project again to make sure it can see everything and it builds correctly, and it does. Great. All right, so the next thing I want to do is create a reference from the Around Me scheduler to the Around Me course, since it's going to also need the code inside of Around Me course. So I'm going to right click on references and select add reference, go down to the solution tab, and then choose to create a reference to the aroundme.core and click OK. And then what I want to do is open up the scheduledagents.cs, and I'm going to add a using statement to the aroundme.core namespace. Okay. Now in that same file, earlier we added this to-do comment, we can make the following change to this onInvoke method now. We can call lockScreenHelpers dot set random image from local storage, like so. And I think the final thing that we need to do at this point is to register our new background scheduled task agent with the operating system. So we're going to do this when our main Around Me app first fires up. So we'll be adding the code to the app.xaml.cs in the application launching event handler. And there's quite a bit of code here. So let's go ahead. I'm going to type it in and then we'll talk about it. All right, so there's two basic activities in this code passage. First, we're trying to find if there's any running versions of our background scheduled task agent. If it's running, then we're going to want to remove it from the scheduled action service, which acts as a registrar for the operating system's scheduled tasks. And then secondly, here, we're going to create an instance of our background scheduled task agent and register it with the scheduled action service. So why do we try to remove it and then re-add it? Well, keep in mind what we said earlier. After 2 weeks, our scheduled task will be descheduled. So this little dance simply keeps our background scheduled task agent scheduled and operating for another 2 weeks or so. So notice that we set the task's description property here in line number 75 in the video. This will be displayed to the end user if they look at the background task in the settings like I did a few moments ago at the very bottom of the page where you can choose to block the app. So it's a good reminder to the user of what this particular background scheduled task agent is doing in case that they've forgotten that they've actually installed your app and what this app is trying to do. So here again, in line number 79, we've seen this before, the launch for test method. We did this in the aroundme.scheduler to schedule the background task for its first execution for development purposes in the phone emulator. And then what we're going to need to do is one last task here. What I need to do is make a change in the WM app manifest.xml file. Here again, we're not going to be able to use the designer. We're going to have to make manual edits to it. So I'm going to right-click it and select Open With and choose the XML text editor with encoding and click OK. And click OK again. And we want to focus on this tasks area, and beneath this default task, I'm actually going to paste in some code here. So what exactly does this do? Well, let's take a look at this page that you see on screen right now. And if you look about halfway down, and I think I'm just gonna search for it, search for extended task element, you can see that the extended tasks element is a child of the tasks element and contains the background service agent elements. This element defines the use of multiple tasks by an app. Extended tasks are named by the developer. Currently, you can use extended task element only when you define background tasks. So remember, the WM app manifest.xml is there mostly for certification purposes into the store and to introduce your app into the phone's operating system and allow it to become part of the phone's ecosystem. And so here's a great example. We tell the phone's operating system that we want this part of our app, the AroundMe.scheduler, here, to be included with the other background task agents that are currently running. We're registering with the background task agent scheduler to let it know that we want it to run within our app, namely the AroundMe scheduler, all right? And we give it a name and a description and so on, okay? So in order for the AroundMe app to register the AroundMe scheduler, we need to add a reference to it. So right-click References and select Add Reference, go to Solution, and we're going to choose AroundMe.scheduler and click OK. At this point, if we were to run the app, we would discover a bug. After the lock screen is changed once, it will never change again. The problem is that our lock screen helper methods are marked as void instead of returning a task. So when we call the setLockScreen method from our roundme.scheduler, it's fired, but instead of waiting for setRandomImageFromLocalStorage method to finish, notifyComplete is called and the method goes out of scope, and so setRandomImageFromLocalStorage never gets a chance to complete its job. And so to fix the bug, you're going to need to change several things in several places. Basically, we need to make everything awaitable, and we need to return a task from each of the methods that are used inside of the setRandomImageFromLocalStorage. So, for example, setRandomImageFromLocalStorage should be marked as async and should return a task. Furthermore, it should, when it calls into setImage, setImage should be set as async and return a task, making it awaitable from the setRandomImageFromLocalStorage method. Furthermore, when we call setLockScreen, it too should be marked as async, return a task, and then our call to it should be marked as awaitable. And then we need to make sure, I believe we've already gotten the await keyword in for request access async. Next, what you're going to need to do is make sure that in the search results.xaml.cs, wherever we call setRandomImageFromLocalStorage, you need to mark that with await, which will require that we make this method async. And then we need to go to the scheduledAgent.cs. When we call setRandomImageFromLocalStorage, mark that with await, which will require us to add the async keyword there as well. And I'm pretty sure that's the last thing that we need to do to make this work. Let me take a look at the one last place here in the app.xaml.cs. I think we're good there. Okay. So this time when we run the app, and we do a search, and we choose some files, and we'll want to make sure to get a distinctive list so it's obvious that the tile has changed. Here's a good blurry photo and a cool nighttime photo, and we'll click the set button. You have a new background. We'll go ahead and click the start button, and then I'll hit the F12 key on my keyboard twice. I've edited out what you see now over about 10 minutes time or so, and it's changed a couple of times during that time. It seems to be taking longer than 30 seconds to swap these out. However, typically after a few minutes, the lock screen has changed, and like I said, it's done it several times. So, got it working. That's cool. Okay, so there are a few final steps that we need to take before we're ready to ship this and submit it to the store for inclusion. First, you'll recall, let's get back here, that in this lesson, we used the launch for test method a couple of times. Let's get to our scheduledagent.cs, our launch for test method. And so we're going to need to search throughout the entire solution for the launch for test method. Recall that we have a reference to it here and in the app.xaml.cs project. Right here, okay. And as I said earlier, you're either going to want to comment these out or wrap them in a check for the debugger, like I did earlier, where we wrap if debugger dot is attached around these lines of code. And then obviously we're going to want to thoroughly test our app. I have not thoroughly tested this app. It might blow up if you were to use it under certain circumstances. And there's probably more work that could be done here to bolster it and make it more bulletproof. I'd recommend allowing a few friends or family to use it, or better yet, find a group of developers in your area that would be willing to take a look and make recommendations. I was recently at a Nokia developer event, and there were a lot of developers exchanging business cards and showing each other what they were working on. It was really cool. This could be a great way to inexpensively find testers and to actually build some good contacts in the development community. So I'd recommend that you get involved by checking out on their events page. I think you can find it here at develop.com/events, all right? And so then another option is to locate the Microsoft developer evangelist in your area and ask them if they have any events that are scheduled. I would do a search on Bing for something like Microsoft developer evangelist and then put in your city, your state, your region, your country, whatever the case might be. Or search for Windows Phone user group and then type in your city, your closest city, state, region, or the country you live in. And you might have to get kind of creative here and try different things and different wording to find a group or an evangelist near you, but they're out there. Developer evangelists usually have blogs, they have Twitter accounts, or they have mailing lists through MSDN or TechNet that you can subscribe to in order to learn about meetups, user groups, code camps, and things of that nature in your local area. Or you could always write the developer evangelist an email and introduce yourself and tell them what you're looking for. But once you're ready to submit to the store, you should pay particular attention to the APIs that you're going to be calling. For example, we use the Windows Phone 8 Maps control and Flickr, so make sure the account that you're using for those services are up to date and that you're providing the correct credentials. With regards to the map control, you're going to need to get an application ID and an authentication token from the Developer Center. Look at this article for information on adding the application ID and authentication token. But in a nutshell, I'm going to add a loaded event handler into the Around Me map. So let's go to our, let's get all this cleaned up here, to the mainpage.xaml. And we'll find the map control, so the Around Me map, and here we're going to add a loaded, and I'll just go ahead and create a new event handler, and then I'll navigate to it. And then inside of here, you would want to do something like this. So map settings, and so we'll have to add a using statement to Microsoft.phone.maps. Map settings dot application context dot application ID, and you would set that here, and then pretty much the same thing for the authentication token. All right, and where do you get these? Well, let's go back out to http dev.windowsphone.com. I'm going to sign in. And I'm going to go to publish. And I'll submit an app. And you'll recall here that there was this map services option, and this is what we would use, this optional task, to get the token required to use map services in your app. It'll give you the application ID and the authentication token that you need to fill in here. All right, so let's go ahead and comment that out for now. All right, so to recap, the big takeaway was how to create a scheduled task and share common code in a library, and how to test the scheduled task in the emulator and the challenges that were involved. We also learned about the final steps, not the least of which was how to receive a token for map services. So in the final lesson, I just have a few comments to make and we'll wrap up this series. We'll see you there. Thank you.